Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Psalm 119:105. Children, please stand for Bible class. We will ask you to turn, if you will, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Our purpose for being here today is the same as it is always when we come together, and that is to open our hearts and minds to the magnificent, marvelous, wonderful Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility as believers to learn, to grow, to advance spiritually, that we might be able to be victorious and triumphant in life. The only way that we're able to be triumphant and victorious in life is to be able to see from a vertical divine viewpoint. See as God sees. We cannot see as God sees unless we understand and have our minds saturated, captivated with Jesus Christ and saturated with His Word. That's the reason for our time of study. We're here today, I believe, to study one of the most powerful subjects with which you will ever confront in life. I want to tell you at the outset that this subject for me over the years has been a tremendously challenging subject. It is a powerful subject. It is an alarming subject. It is a subject that every born-again believer needs to think about. In our bulletin today, we have information for you in a few moments, not to insult your intelligence at all. We're going to be looking at about five or six of the points that are listed in the bulletin. So I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to have your bulletin handy. We spend a moment now in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice today in the fact that we realize that life on the earth, no matter how long we live, is extremely brief. And so we pray that while we're here, we'll understand that you have a reason and a purpose for our existence. It is not an accident that we're here. We believe that you have us here on purpose. There's a reason, a design from our Heavenly Father that has made it possible for us to be alive at this particular point of time in history. We realize that we must have the ability to see from a vertical divine viewpoint. And we also understand that we cannot see as we should see. We cannot understand as we need to understand unless our minds are focused upon the eternal truths of your word. Unless our minds are captivated with the person of Jesus Christ and that we have in our hearts and souls the wonderful word of God. We realize that we cannot abstain from evil if we are focused upon the things of this earth. Help us to understand that we have the responsibility on this earth to see as God sees. And these are challenging days for us. And we thank you for the opportunity to study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In your bulletin, you have information today on 1 Thessalonians 5:22. If you'll notice, it says, from every form of evil, abstain. I point something out for you to see very quickly, and that is that the word abstain is a word that we're going to be analyzing, and we're going to be looking at some synonyms, trying to see how that word is used and how it can be seen in different manners. If you'll notice the way the word is used here, and we'll not go into the details of the Greek other than to point out the fact that the way that this particular word is used is that this is an imperative verb, and it says that you and I have the responsibility to abstain, that's a command, from evil. And looking more clearly and more indefinitely into this word, we discover that the word is in the middle voice, which says that you and I are benefited if we will do what this verse says, if we will abstain from evil. So 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, from every form of evil, then there's a command, abstain. In recent days, we've been looking at Ephesians 5:16, which says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We have spent time looking at the various words related to the subject of redeeming. We'll look at that again in just a few moments. But Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Then you'll notice there's another verse on this page, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, which says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I would suggest that you memorize these verses of Scripture, and if you don't have them already written somewhere, that you write them so that you can refer to them often. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, from every form of evil, abstain. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies, to be at peace with him. Looking at your bulletin and the insert that you have there, we have some emphasis in relationship to the subject of evil and the deception related to it. The question is asked, and you're looking at the page now, insert in your bulletin. What is evil? It has a distinct technical and categorical meaning in the wonderful Word of God. It is not simply a generic word referring to anything bad or sinful. It is a lot more than that. One of the things that you and I will be able to see as we study in future days, that the subject of evil is a far deeper subject than most of us would ever think of. And we're going to be able to touch, I believe, some of this as we move along in coming days. What is evil? It has a distinct technical and categorical meaning in God's Word. It is not simply a generic word referring to anything bad or sinful. It is a lot more than that. Number two, on page one of your insert, the word refers specifically to the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world and his modus operandi from the time of his fall throughout the angelic revolution and down to the point when he became the ruler of the world. There is so much contained in the individual words that you find here in number two. Number three, Satan is opposed to anything involving the Lord Jesus Christ. We must remember that Satan is opposed to anything and everything involving the Lord Jesus Christ. He is devoted to distorting or obscuring any truth related to biblical truths. I cannot emphasize that enough. I repeat that statement. Satan is opposed to anything and everything involving the Lord Jesus Christ. He's involved in distorting and devoted to obscuring any truth related to biblical truths. Number four, through evil, Satan brings about two major consequences on the earth. One of those is sin, and the other is human good. In past years, we've studied those two subjects. In the future, we will reiterate some of the facets related to those two subjects. Through evil, Satan brings about two major consequences on the earth. Sin on the one hand, human good on the other hand. The motivation of evil, both of which are based on errors of thinking. One of the things that we've learned in recent days is that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died for sin, but He did not die for evil. Some people have picked up on that and they understand what I'm saying. Other people yet have not fully comprehended that statement. Jesus Christ died on the cross for sin. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for evil. Because evil is a method of thinking, and evil is satanic thinking. The only way that you and I can get rid of satanic thinking is to have a different style, a different method of thinking. We have to have the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Satan is in the business of obscuring, and he is devoted to getting you and me away from the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through evil, number four again, Satan brings about two major consequences on the earth, sin and human good. The motivation of evil, both of which are based on the errors in the field of thinking. Number five, self-righteousness combined with human good, sincerity, produces a saturation of evil in a nation. I trust that you have that in your thinking. Please, if you don't, put it there. Number five again, self-righteousness combined with human good, sincerity, produces saturation of evil in a nation. Now, what I've discovered is that you're ready for study. On the screen, we have the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, which says, and I repeat, from every form of evil, abstain. Words are always fun for me, and I want you to understand that when I read the scripture and study the scripture, when I prepare to proclaim the wonderful, magnificent words of God, I come across individual words, and I'm always amazed and I'm intrigued by the various words. The word that hits me here is the word abstain. Notice, if you will, again, please, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. From every form of evil, abstain. And you'll notice that we have, again, the beneficial part of the command, because it is a present middle imperative verb. Beautiful, magnificent word indeed. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 should be written not only in your Bible, but on your notes. And I repeat again, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. From every form of evil, abstain. I put this up here several times for you to be able to see. Abstain is an interesting word. I would ask you, if you will, please, to write that word, abstain, and let it be in capital letters. Abstain from every form of evil is what this verse says. You're ready for some points. Number one, to obey this command, it is necessary to learn what evil is and what forms evil takes. I'm giving you time to write that because it's powerful for you to be able to have this down and think about it. To obey the command, abstain from every form of evil, it is necessary to learn what evil is and what forms it takes. What I've already said, and I repeat now, the word evil has a distinct technical and categorical meaning in the wonderful Word of God. It is not simply a generic word referring to anything that is bad or sinful. The word evil refers specifically to the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world. We've described it like this, that evil is the modus operandi of Satan from the time of his fall throughout the angelic revolution and down to the point when he became the ruler of the world. Number two, Satan is directly opposed to anything involving the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is always and directly opposed to anything involving the Lord Jesus Christ. We've repeated this and we now recapitulate again. Satan is devoted to distorting or obscuring any truth related to our Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, one of the most important factors that we can see is one of the things that Satan desires to do is to blind people in relationship to their need of salvation. What you have to see is that Satan is continually in the business of blinding unsaved individuals. We find that in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is writing to the Corinthians, and here's what he says. And if our gospel be veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. If our gospel is veiled, hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You notice I was not stuttering. I was trying to emphasize some words. And I want you to see this. Go back and look at it. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The unsaved out there. Those individuals whom we love, lost loved ones and friends. The gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Are you able to see what is being presented here? One of the things we have to understand is, as we study the subject of evil, and we study Satan, and we study how powerful Satan is, we're beginning now to see some of the steps in relationship to how Satan works. And we're seeing it right now in relationship to all of our friends and loved ones out there who are unsaved, lost, with an eternal destruction awaiting them. You have to understand that Satan is in the business of blinding their minds, of darkening their precepts, and getting them on the wrong track. And that's the reason why this says that these individuals' minds are veiled. It is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Who is the image of God? I pause and let you think with me. Sometimes I feel like I go so rapidly that you don't have time to pause and think about the seriousness of what is being said. Evil is Satan's system by which he administers the rulership of this world. He uses his world rulership to try to bring about the downfall of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan tries to turn as many people away from Christ as possible, to blind the minds, veil the minds of individuals. The reason why I'm going slowly here is because I want you to see that you and I have a responsibility in relationship to our neighbors, our loved ones, friends, whom we know to be unsaved. Just remember the fact that you and I have some responsibility of presenting the gospel, salvation message to those individuals. And be aware of the fact that even though we have that responsibility, that Satan is doing everything he can to continue to veil the minds of those individuals, to darken their minds, to corrupt their thinking, to get them to spend time thinking about other things rather than eternity, and other things rather than to that point of time which would take place in their individual lives upon the point of physical death. To die unsaved, to die lost, to die without Jesus Christ, the most tragic thing that could ever happen. And sometimes I'm convinced that you and I don't really consider that as seriously as we should. I feel like that all of us go through life satisfied with the way things are. We see our friends, we see our loved ones. We're aware of the fact that there may be loved ones and friends who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. But are we aware of the fact that Satan is in the process of veiling their thinking, moving them to be thinking about other things other than what would take place upon the point of their breathing their last breath? Sometimes we don't think about that. To die, to leave this life, to breathe the last breath, unsaved, we don't really seriously think about that. Through Satan and through evil, Satan brings about two major consequences on the earth. One of those is sin, and as you can see on the screen, the other is human good. Human good is the motivation of evil. When I mention the words human good, I wonder if that which has been taught over the last 40 years plus is really embedded in your thinking when I use the terms human good. Through evil, Satan brings about two major consequences on the earth: sin, human good, the motivation of evil. Both of which are based on errors in thinking. The sin, for instance, of self-righteousness combined with human good or sincerity produces a saturation of evil in our nation. Are you able to see what is being presented now? The sin of self-righteousness combined with human good or sincerity produces a saturation of evil in our nation. One of the main reasons that you and I are studying this subject now, one of the main reasons for learning about evil from the Word of God, is to learn that mankind cannot solve problems by human solutions. Any effective solution to a human problem has to be a divine solution. And there is an answer in the Bible for every human need or every human problem. Notice these words. These words have been printed carefully. Anything that is outside of the plan of God is part of Satan's strategy. Anything that is outside the plan of God is a part of Satan's strategy of evil. Therefore, any person who is consistently involved in this satanic cosmic system is directly involved with the subject of evil. Notice, if you will, please, evil results in the destruction of society. I cannot say that loud enough. I cannot say that emphatically enough. Evil results in the destruction of society. The malfunction of society. Evil causes the removal of legitimate authority and its function under the laws of divine establishment. Over the last few sessions, I've emphasized the fact that the Bible teaches very plainly the laws of divine establishment. And some of you perhaps are wondering what I mean when I use the terminology laws of divine establishment. I name them again very rapidly. Volition, choice, marriage, family, nationalism. I've just thrown out to you four major words. Volition. Satan is doing everything that he can to deal with individuals, even born-again believers, in the realm of choice or volition. You got up this morning. You got dressed this morning. You made a decision this morning to get in your vehicle and make your way into this auditorium. That was volition. That was choice. That was decision. God has given us that magnificent privilege of making decisions. Every unsaved individual also has the choice of volition, making decisions. There are many people who are making decisions on a day-by-day basis that are contrary and contrary to God's plan. The Bible says it's God's plan for people to be saved. He said, "It's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If that means true, and it is true, when God loved, He loved the world, and when Christ died, He died on the cross for everyone. And I promise you, if a person chooses to say no, God doesn't coerce or force that person. Choice, volition, is one of the magnificent gifts of God in relationship to the laws of divine establishment. Volition. Choice. The second one is marriage, family. I can tell you, and something you already know, and that is that Satan is having a heyday in this area right here in relationship to marriage and family life. family life. So many people are so confused and frustrated. So many children are being so frustrated and so confused in life because of the confusion of parents. The laws of divine establishment, volition, marriage, family, nationalism. Evil causes the removal of legitimate authority and its function under the laws of divine establishment. Just as grace and doctrine represent genius of God in relationship to the human race, evil represents the genius of Satan in relationship to the human race. Therefore, what you think and how you think, what you think, how I think, what I think is very, very, very important. There are two ways of thinking. You see it on the screen. Vertical, divine viewpoint, God's truth, vertical thinking, which glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Horizontal, human viewpoint, thinking Satan's concepts, which dishonors the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the issue is thought versus thought. You got it? Thought versus thought. What we're looking at today is the fact that evil attempts to produce a human good, a panacea, which is expected to solve the problems of life. Somewhere in your notes you ought to write, evil attempts to produce human good, panacea, which is expected to solve the problems of life apart from God's word and divine viewpoint. So evil is often a distortion of the biblical subject and a distortion of the laws of divine establishment. Satan's original sin was a distortion of biblical concepts. Satan's original sin was a distortion of biblical concepts. Time moves so rapidly. In the light of what I've just said, let me ask you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Isaiah. All of you have Bibles here. Turn, if you will, to the book of Isaiah. I'll give you time to find it. Isaiah chapter 14. So much more could be presented. I'm trying to bring this to a conclusion so we can have our break and come back and study some more. Isaiah 14. What we have here is a presentation of a creation of God, an angel, a magnificent angel, who was assigned a responsibility, but because of volition, choice, this angel began to draw conclusions and make decisions that were not in keeping with the overall plan of God. Isaiah 14, 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. Notice Many, many sermons could be preached right there, but follow me and let me read on. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. Isaiah 14:14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew the cities? I pause with you and let you see something. Though much could be said about these verses, I would like for you to be able to see the personal pronouns that are used by this angel. Most of us are aware of the fact that when this angel disobeyed and cast down, he went about seeking to get others to go along with him. Most of us are familiar with that. But notice the personal pronouns. I will, in verse 13. And read on again. I will. And I will sit. Verse 14. I will ascend. Notice, if you will, over and over again, the personal pronouns. We discover that Satan had a problem. The problem that even Adam had. The problem that people have today. It's the problem of pride and egotism and being supercilious. Evil comes, of course, in many forms. We'll be studying some of those as we move along. Most of us by now understand that evil originated and even existed before human history. The means by which it was transmitted from previous creature existence to human history is Satan himself. The point that I'm giving you here is the origin of evil is Satan. And the genius of Satan to devise a system to oppose God, that's evil. I look forward to the next session. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize that there is so much for us to learn. We are challenged by your magnificent word. We've been made aware again today that the power of Satan is so unique, beyond our comprehension. We pray that we will be able to study these things and learn, that we might be able to see that we can choose on a daily basis to either have vertical divine viewpoint or satanic human viewpoint, horizontal viewpoint. And as we come to the close of this service, the last few moments, there may be someone hearing this voice today who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. God has given these individuals volition, choice, the ability to make decisions. God does not coerce or force anyone. But each individual has the opportunity to make a decision to accept or reject Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. This tells us very vividly that salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth as the God-man and go to the cross and bear our sins. Father, we are so thankful that you loved the world so much. And we're thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to do everything that he's done to give and make it possible for us to be the recipients of life eternal. We pray that there will be at this very moment individuals who will use their choice, their volition, their free will to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And we thank you over and over again for your wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.